And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in my name, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of our Lord.
Last Sunday, based on the passage from the Gospel according to Matthew that just preceded this short little piece, and I have to say, the translation of this passage from Matthew's Gospel is a little bit unfortunate because it uses the language of reward. You know, if somebody does this and is of service, they won't lose their reward. And boy, you know, for a lot of us who were raised in religious traditions that keyed into the medieval images of heaven and hell and reward and punishment and you're in or you're out and all that good stuff, the word reward is a trigger, and not a healthy one or a good one for some of us, because it just takes us back into that medieval mindset of, you know, God's out to get us, and if you do what we tell you to do, or at the very least, if you don't get caught, right, God will let you get into heaven. And the problem with that is it has absolutely nothing to do with the gospel whatsoever. Nothing to do with the teachings of Scripture, nothing to do with the Hebrew Scriptures. We made that stuff up in the Middle Ages, and I'm convinced, having been raised a Polish Catholic, and if you know any Polish Catholics, you know how crazy we really are. It's not helpful stuff. Heaven and hell, reward and punishment, it's not helpful stuff because it doesn't lie at the heart of the Christian tradition or the teachings of Jesus. So I'm just putting it out there for you. If you look carefully at the ancient Greek, and by the way, there are many scholars, more and more as time goes on, who are convinced that the Gospel according to Matthew in its original form was written in Aramaic, which is an ancient language that no one has figured out how to translate. And so the only thing we've ever had access to is these ancient Greek manuscripts, and so that's what we work with. And if you look carefully at the Greek, it's not talking about reward, as you and I would typically think of reward. It's talking about not losing relationships. Let me say that again. It is not talking about the standard, you know, medieval approach to reward or punishment. It's talking about not losing relationships, staying in relationships. And so basically what Jesus says is, those who welcome you welcome me. And we'll come back to that in a second, because there's a bit of a challenge and an invitation embedded in that. But to sort of ground it in the rest of the Scriptures, we heard the story about Rebecca at the well. And again, it's amazing to me how we've taken these ancient stories and turned them and twisted them, you know, to fit those medieval categories that I mentioned earlier, when in fact, all of these ancient stories in the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis on through Joshua, in fact, all of the Hebrew Scriptures, they are stories about a family. Kind of like our families. Sort of okay, a little weird, sometimes seriously messed up, dysfunctional, abusive, crazy, you know, on it goes. And these families, these ancient families, are looking for their footing because they're all living in exile. And the stories are written by people who are living in exile, and they are written to people who are living in exile. In other words, they are the stories of a refugee family. And from that point of view, you and I can begin to enter into what's really going on. And unlike what a lot of us were told growing up, the God portrayed in the Hebrew Scriptures is not that omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God that we were sold as kids. It's a God who's in a set of relationships with a family who's a little nutty. And God is trying to sort these relationships out. And there's all kinds of stories in the Scriptures. Last week we heard Hagar. There's a story of Abraham and Isaac. This one about Rebecca at the well, where God doesn't know stuff. God's trying to figure stuff out. And so imagine that you and I are invited into a set of relationships with this, both this ancient family and our own, call it Christian community, and we're all a little screwy, and we all have our little weirdnesses and idiosyncrasies, and every now and again we sort of hit the mark, but a lot of times we don't. And God is just hanging in there with us and looking to sort it all out with us. It's a little bit different than that omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God that you and I have been sold the bill of goods on. I mean, and what it does is it opens it up into all kinds of possibilities for us. Now, that brings us back to this passage in Matthew. Typically, and I've preached this a lot, you've heard it a lot, we've had all kinds of conversations about this, typically when we think about all of the ways in which we encounter Jesus or encounter the Christ, okay, we think of it in terms of those that we serve. Flash on Matthew 25. Whenever you have given the least of these a cup of cold water, says Jesus, you've done it to me. If you've fed the hungry, if you've clothed the naked, if you've visited the imprisoned, if you've tended the sick, on the list goes. Encounters with those people, that would be me, says Jesus. And so therein lies Matthew's version of the second coming. He's popping up all the time when we're being of service. And so we're invited to see Jesus in all of these people whose lives have been compromised in one way or another. Because those are the people with whom Jesus aligns himself. Same people that God aligns God's self. I mean, there's the gospel tradition in a nutshell. Today's little passage puts a whole other twist on this. When Jesus says, if they welcome you, they welcome me. As I wrestled with this passage, I flashed on a clergy conference that I attended years and years ago, longer than I'd care to admit, when I was a fledgling priest in the Diocese of Los Angeles, and the bishop had invited this wonderful woman named Minka Sprague. She was a priest of the Episcopal Church and the professor of New Testament at Union Theological Seminary in New York. And she was leading this week-long seminar on talking Bible with people. And trying to teach clergy how to talk about the Bible with people, it was an absolute hoot. And the things I learned from her, I have carried with me to this day. And one of the days, we landed on some of these passages, like this one, where Jesus says, when they welcome you, they welcome me. And Minka gets right in our faces, and she says, so now you're going to do an exercise, she says to all the clergy of the Diocese of Los Angeles. From now on, the rest of the week, every morning you get up, you are going to stand in front of the mirror and you are going to look yourself square in the eye and you are going to take your hands and gently hold your face. This is the part that weirded me out. And you are going to say to yourself, good morning, image of God. I cannot tell you how many months I choked on that. I just had real trouble with it. But, you know, she meant business. Minka Sprague was not somebody you were going to trifle with, so we did the exercise. Most of us were pretty creeped out by the whole thing, but we kept doing it. She said, she looked at us at the end of the week, the end of the conference. She said, now I want you to keep doing that exercise, and if you don't, I will know. And, of course, we'd all been in seminary. We had professors like that. It's like, oh, my God, she will. She will know if we stop doing it. So we kept, you know, doing it. Have you done it this week? Yeah. Have you? Yeah. It's driving me crazy. It's freaking me out, but I'm doing it. Jesus says, when they welcome you, they welcome me. And so imagine now, if you will, in addition to encountering Jesus among the least and the last and the lost, among the people that we serve, the people whose lives are compromised, the refugees of the world, those who are living in exile, the poor, the hungry, the lost, the lame, all the folks that you and I get to serve, the people that Jesus hung out with his entire life, and we see him in those people now. Add to that experience that they now get to see Jesus in us, in you and me. And that perhaps, as a homework assignment, every morning now when we get up, we can stand in front of the mirror and look ourselves square in the eye and imagine that we're seeing Jesus. And, you know, if you're an overachiever, and you could do the hands thing. That's the part that creeped me out, you know, holding your face gently in the mirror. Imagine this, folks. We see Jesus in ourselves. If that's a bit of a push for you, imagine seeing Jesus in the people with whom you live. Maybe they can mirror that in some way. But really, this week's homework assignment, and I'm going to try to pull a Minka Sprague on you, if you don't do it, I will know. Yeah, tick. And this is going to be the topic of the men's breakfast, you know. Did you see Jesus? And imagine practicing seeing Jesus reflected in our own eyes. I mean, you got to admit, it kind of gives a whole different spin on what we're dealing with here. And it gives us an opportunity to pause and see how this life into which you and I are invited, this life of service, this life of prayer, this life of telling the truth about ourselves. Oh, by the way, this is part of the truth, seeing Jesus reflected in our own eyes, that this is how God makes God's self known to us. And from which we draw strength to continue to live these lives of prayer and truth-telling and service. And we don't have to worry so much, again, based on the ancient, the Hebrew scriptures. We don't have to worry about being, you know, found out or ratted out by some all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient God. All we have to do is just be in relationship. I mean, that's the ticket. So, take a nice deep breath. And don't forget to let it out.